You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Yo, could you please pass the billy, my G?
Sure thing. Whoa, that was a big old hit from that Zooter. Are you sure you're okay?
Yeah, I'm... Wait, I think I might be...
Greening Out, a sustainability-focused segment where Hoff Trough talks to local legends who help make Dunedin a cleaner, greener place. From worm ranchers and penguin protectors to community garden organizers, Greening Out is Radio 1's premier stop for all things sustainable.
Are you feeling better now?
Yes, much better. Just give me the chippies, please.
Alrighty, I haven't heard that in ages. It's currently 9:20, and I'm joined by Kate Bonn from the Otago Peninsula Eco-Restoration Alliance. That's hard to memorize, that acronym.
It really is. You can see why we've got an acronym.
Yeah. OPERA, which works way better.
Yeah, even though it does cause a little bit of confusion. I did not decide to pursue my career in the sing kind of opera, but yeah, here we are. Otago Peninsula Eco-Restoration Alliance.
Yeah, hell yeah. My first question to you this morning, does the title Penguin Protector work very well to describe the stuff that you do out at OPERA?
Honestly, not entirely sure where you got that from, because it's not my job title. But, yeah, I mean, as you said, the OPERA, it does stand for eco-restoration is, like, our primary focus, and my role is more focused on, like, the research and restoration side of things. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you're right that there is a fair bit to do with penguins here. Mm-hmm. It actually formerly was called the Penguin Place until pretty recently, like a year and a half ago. And, yeah, so the yellow-eyed penguin, or the hoihoi in Te Reo Māori, is our, I guess, focal species. It's a pretty cool penguin. It's also the most rare, and it's really endangered. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there are a number of staff who work quite closely with the yellow-eyed penguin at my workplace, and that could be monitoring the population in the reserve or working with them in our rehabilitation facility. But yeah, I guess the rest of us, penguin protector, you could make that work.
Peninsula protector even?
Yeah,
that might be a bit
both.
More, yeah.
I don't know, penguin protector, I guess what we do is, especially when we run tours for members of the public, we do try to just demonstrate good behaviour around wildlife, like keeping a distance and keeping quiet, and honestly just allowing people to see these penguins without, I don't know, getting right up close and personal where there might be war risk to them. Because the hoihoi are particularly sensitive to human disturbance. So yeah, I'll take that. Penguin protector.
You'll take that. I'm curious, you mentioned before our yarn about how it's currently breeding season. Is it breeding season for both the karora and the hoihoi?
Yeah, so they're just slightly offset, but for sure there's been colonies across the country of karora that have already had eggs laid, which is real exciting. Ours, they have been cozying up for a good while now in their little nest boxes, and no eggs yet, but we do expect them any day. So yeah, the hoihoi breeding season is typically a bit later. They are currently at the stage of just finishing up what we call the winter feeding season, and now coming to land a bit more to look at nesting sites and hook up with their mates.
I imagine because it's the breeding season, you'll need to be even more careful with having people come to try and like have a look.
Yeah.
I imagine that's the case.
Yep, that's definitely true. And even us staff, we actually, as of yesterday, we are out of our reserve areas. So by that I mean the areas that are right by the beaches where they do try to look for a nest. That means, yeah, we really do pull out of that area, and anything we do would be like necessary interventions for the hoihoi. And other than that, we really try to leave them be, because, of course, the ideal is that they can just look after themselves without human intervention.
For sure. I'm curious to know, how long have you been with OPERA, and how did you what inspired you to get involved with them?
Yeah, so I've been with them since, gosh, haven't counted the number of months, but 1st of November last year.
True.
However many that is.
True.
So that's both, I don't know, quite a while in terms of, as a student, you tend to not work in one place for a very long time, or at least for me. But it also does feel like a while. So I came on board initially as a summer ranger and tour guide. That was my role, and that was supposed to be the scope of my role. But towards the end of summer, as things were wrapping up, it looked like there could be opportunity to stay on, and I decided that I really loved the work and also felt it was pretty worthwhile. So I decided to do that, and yeah, I've been part-time since then. I'm trying to juggle that alongside doing my master's.
Yeah, it must be a Herculean task. I imagine.
Yeah, it's a bit challenging. Work can be pretty distracting from study, but no, it's good, and I feel they do complement each other pretty well.
For sure, for sure. You're doing some stuff in ecology. Is that the goal?
Yeah, close enough. Botany.
Close enough.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, ecology is about how everything's interconnected, and botany is definitely interconnected with ecology. So there we go.
For sure. I mean, it's studying all, I guess, about the producers of the food chain.
Yeah, exactly. Foundation of life are our plants.
Exactly. I'm real curious to know what's the impact OPERA is happening in protecting coastal species and areas.
Yep. So a couple of things there. I guess we do provide a safe haven for the hoihoi, as I mentioned, and also other wildlife that frequent our beaches, letting them come and go without being disturbed. But beyond that, we do try to really restore their habitat. That could be through planting species appropriate to the area, and also predator control, because we, of course, have a real issue with that in New Zealand. And there are plant species as well, lots of endemic or endangered plant species that are quite important to protect. But as we were just saying, it is all interconnected. So often when we do try to, like, undergo a project of restoring our bush area or our dune system, that has benefits for a whole range of species, like the plants themselves, any small little critters that occupy that space, as well as the larger things.
Yeah, a lot of insects, reptiles, I mean.
Yeah, exactly, all of that. And I guess part of the work that we do is actually just trying to get an idea of what we have on the property, because it's hard to protect what you don't know is there, and especially for, those smaller things. Like, we do have a good idea that we do get sea lions, for example, in our beaches, but smaller things like our reptiles and invertebrates does take a little bit more looking. So, yeah, research and monitoring projects, I guess, goes alongside the more direct restoration work.
It's not like you can just get those, what are they called? The big quadrant square
quadrant
things? Quadrats. Yeah. I remember doing those. It's not like you can do that across the entire peninsula.
No. So you've got to pick your spots, and we do try to do that.
I'm curious with the restoration element. Doing botany, I assume a lot of your work involves, figuring out where to plant certain endemic plants around the peninsula.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's definitely not spearheaded just by me. There's a lot of really great people out there, and as the OPERA, we do work with organisations like DOC to try to work out where we can plant things. And honestly, a lot of my role has been just getting in touch with people who know more than me and trying to work out what the best thing is, because it is a tricky thing doing restoration in this day and age when we're often very far removed from what things used to be, particularly on the Otago Peninsula, and trying to work out what did things used to be like in the past, and also is that even appropriate still today, thinking of future changes like climate change, and also the fact that there are humans around now. And I guess I've come to see the tours that we run is actually quite important for the restoration and conservation work we do as well.
I think it's definitely like the OPERA has like five functions. I think the tours definitely provide a good education outlet for a lot of people.
I'd say that's probably one of the main things we do for education, as well as just hosting groups, like school groups, university groups, and being involved with Wild Dunedin when that happens once a year. So it's really great that we can both work with local members of the public as well as the more international tourists we often get.
For sure. You mentioned climate change. I'm curious to know, what are some other challenges that OPERA faces, could be local problems, international problems, so on and so forth, in restoring the peninsula and protecting those penguins and other species as well?
Question. There's a lot, both locally and globally, and I think climate change is one of these ones that I've learned about a lot in my courses, but it's been really interesting being in this job and seeing what that means on the ground, and for anything relating to marine species or species like penguins that really rely on both terrestrial and marine habitats. What we're looking at there is the food chain and disruptions to the food chain because of rising ocean temperatures. So that's something that is pretty challenging, because there's not so much we can directly do at the OPERA about that. I guess just for me, it's in other areas of my life trying to keep lobbying for climate action. There's other issues about like the state of the land, the fact that it is, especially on the Otago Peninsula, pretty denuded of vegetation, and that there's also a lot of mustelids, rodents, all those introduced pests running around, which aren't great for our invertebrates, reptiles, as well as of course birds. And then there's, I guess, just commercial operations fisheries are important in New Zealand and also not super well monitored, so it's difficult sometimes to know what the impact of that is.
Mm. I don't know if you saw, but you might have seen this. The government recently introduced fishing cameras on those vessels, and the bycatch, reported bycatch, went up by like the triple figures.
Yeah.
It went up by heaps.
It's pretty sad, eh?
Yeah.
It's also not super surprising once you've got that kind of accountability, I guess.
Yeah, I'm glad they do have fishing cameras because I think it will lead to more carefulness and thoughtfulness. But yeah, I think that's all the time we have this morning on Greening Out. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
It was
great. Stoked you're having this segment again.
Yeah. Thank you very much. It's been under the works for quite some time. I've been off for the past couple Fridays, so it's good to be back in the thing. You requested Big Yellow Taxi by Joni Mitchell to play. I'm curious, what is the how long have you been a Joni fan for?
Oh yeah, that's a classic. I don't know, I think I picked up one of her CDs a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not that long, but a couple of years in the scheme of things. And this one's great. You can hear it now.
Yeah, hear it live right on Radio 1. It's currently 9:30. We've got more Korero coming up at when do we have Korero? At 9:55, I believe. Let me just check my calendar on the right day. There we go. Oh my goodness, what is going on with the calendar? Yeah, 9:55, we've got an interview with director Ant Timpson to talk about his new comedy adventure Bookworm starring Elijah Wood. Here is Big Yellow Taxi by Joni Mitchell. See y'all later. Thank you, Kate.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.